"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Earlier today, we were telling you about how California lawmakers wanted to possibly institute or implement this heat wave scale. So we would know when it's really hot outside, as if we didn't already know, and we could monitor and also monitor our behavior, change our behavior if need be. We would know when it's hot or when it's hot as hell or hotter than hell. And now Alex Stone is going to join us to give us some more information about why it's hot
and how long it's going to be hot. My scale is beep, 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 beep. It's hot. Oh, my goodness, is it hot. And, Mo, as of 6 minutes ago, we went into a level 2 emergency right at the top of the hour. And Cal ISO is saying level 3 is coming at 5:30, most likely right around there. And then that means, boo, it's going to be blackouts. Most likely rolling blackouts will begin then. So, yeah, this is the basic math of how much power you're generating versus what are you using. And if you come up on the negative side of that, then they got to begin cutting the power and to keep everything up and running. And you get the rolling blackouts, and that's where we're going. The head of Cal ISO saying,
but we have now entered the most intense phase of this heat wave, and the potential for rotating outages has increased significantly.
And it looks like they're nearly inevitable now, that they're predicting tonight at 5:30 an all-time. We've already broken the all-time high, but an even higher high than where we are right now. Right now, we are using 51,326 megawatts of power. The old record was 50,270, set back in 2006. And we're going up right now really, really quickly as people are getting home. They're turning on the AC. Sun's getting lower in the sky. Solar panels aren't doing as much.
We're looking at energy deficits of 2,000 to 4,000 megawatts, which is as much as 10% of normal electricity demand. We need to use every tool available to get even greater energy savings today and tomorrow.
So the demand going up really quickly at the moment, and the actual current capacity going down because of solar and the sun. So they've been telling us, Mo, for a week, turn up your thermostat, don't charge electric cars, turn off your lights, unplug your laptop, don't run major appliances. That's not going to be enough. Tonight, they're saying it would have to be a lot, and I don't know what you would do to do this much.
We need 2 to 3 times as much conservation as we've been experiencing to keep the power on with these historically high temperatures in demand.
And probably not only today, but tomorrow and Thursday, based on the current demand. And, Mo, this is all in a perfect world that all of the power generators remain up and running tonight and transmission lines don't become overloaded or burn out or fall or anything else, that if everything remains up and running, then we're on the verge of blackouts. But if something goes down, then it's going to go on and be longer in duration and sooner that we would get there. But they're right now, CAISO saying probably around 5:30 is when we'll be at that level, and then go from there.
Have you seen the movie Armageddon?
Yeah.
There's a line from Owen Wilson where he asks the question about what should they expect up on the asteroid. And they tell him, and he says, okay, just say worst scenario possible. Just the worst scenario imaginable. Just tell me that. And it seems like that's what you're telling us. In other words, our infrastructure is inadequate to deal with what we're dealing with right now. We have more electric vehicles than ever before, but we shouldn't charge our vehicles. We're telecommuting more than ever before. So
do
people
not charge them tonight. Yeah.
Right.
So Even though we're going to go mainly all electric in 2035, but don't charge them tonight.
Right. You see where I'm going with this. It seems like this would be a fool's errand in the sense of we don't have the infrastructure capability, the technological advances to be able to handle the moment, much less 3-4 years from now.
Yeah. Well, the air regulators, they said, well, by 2035, the grid will be a lot better. We'll be good to go.
Hopefully.
But weren't we doing this in like 2003, 2004? And have we done a lot to get any better? And demand has only gone up. And we're breaking the record tonight. And we're talking about 20 years after those blackouts, maybe 2001-ish, that here we are again. And we are doing it again. And Newsom put this out.
And the risk for outages is real and it's immediate. These triple digit temperatures throughout much of our state are leading, not surprisingly, to record demand on the energy grid.
It is immediate right now. And part of the level two, what they are doing is putting out the call to energy operators around the U.S. saying, sell us your electricity. That is part of a level two emergency, saying we will buy it. Make us a bid right now. So that would be a little bit of a savior if somebody, you know, if Louisiana said, you know what, we'll make you a bid. We'll sell you a bunch tonight. But short of that, we're running out.
How then do we manage the heat wave? And this is more rhetorical, managing the heat wave against the drought, against the outdoor water ban. How are we supposed to navigate all this?
How do you do all of it?
I don't know.
You know, I started the dishwasher the other night and said to my wife, wow, we are really bad right now. We're doing water and electricity as we do this.
Shame on you.
I know. But at some point, you got to wash dishes, right? I guess you do it by hand, but you got to use water there as well. I don't know. They're saying unplug everything tonight, that we need everything we can get, and probably tomorrow night and the night after that. But how many people are really doing that? Are you going around your home and unplugging everything?
No.
Maybe. I mean, maybe somebody is, but probably not all that realistic. We've heard PG&E has been warned by CAISO to be ready tonight to begin rolling outages. We don't know about Southern California Edison. So seems like at this point, at least in some areas, it is going to be inevitable. But how widespread it's going to be, who it's going to be, we don't know.
Is it really, to the best of your knowledge, and I've always wondered about the rolling blackouts, it seems from my limited experience, and I've dealt with them, that it seems like it hits certain communities more often than other communities. I don't believe that it's completely random. To the best of your knowledge, is it by usage or anything like that?
From what I understand, and you know, they tell you an hour and then it will come back on and you get your AC back and then it rolls somewhere else. From what I understand, they do it based on where they need it, that where power generation is, where transmission is, that if the San Fernando Valley is using a ton and they're limited in generation and delivery there, boom, that goes down. If Santa Clarita is doing it, boom, they go down. Orange County.
I can't tell you who specifically, I think it would be inappropriate to, but I can tell you who told me when I was speaking to Alex Stone, ABC's Alex Stone, last segment, we were talking about the prospective likelihood of rolling blackouts that we would be experiencing in the coming days, as in the future, because of our energy usage. Well, Fork Reporter just texted me and just said that a fellow employee, who I'm not going to name, texted him and said that his house just got hit with a loss of power, rolling blackout. And Eric, I'll tell you in the break who it is. But so I say all that to say it's happening. It's already begun. And if my mic goes out all of a sudden, that means there's going to be a rolling blackout. So if you hear that happen, just know that it's not because of me. It's because we lost power. But there's something else I wanted to tell you about. You guys are a bunch of idiots out there. This has to do with handling yourself over a Labor Day weekend. Nearly 880 DUI arrests in California just over the Labor Day weekend. And that's according to the CHP. And Angel Martinez has been doing traffic. I usually, when I'm sitting in for Tim Conway Jr., who's next up after me, when I'm usually sitting in with Tim Conway Jr., I get to talk to Angel Martinez. But it's weird, but it's also a treat. I get to talk to her right now. Angel, you there?
I am. Hi, Mo.
How are you? First, how was your holiday?
Well, you know, I would be lying if I said that I was in a nice, cool area. And like nobody was, neither was I. So, but I kept it cool, you know, just had a mellow weekend. It was nice. Slept in. It was great. It was great. So happy to be back in the studio and some nice air conditioning. So that's always awesome.
You get to see the vicissitudes of traffic and what happens during a normal week versus a holiday weekend. Do you by chance, and I honestly don't know this, do you by chance get the reports of the DUIs? Do you get the reports of how CHP is managing these types of weekends at all?
Well, through the information that I read daily, those stats are not included. However, I can, you know, check a few other places and find how many DUI arrests there were this year. I mean, they keep that information for every single weekend and holiday year after year.
But as far as just the traffic in general, do you find that people, and I'm actually trying to make the point that we lose our minds every single holiday weekend. We know that there's going to be maximum enforcement. Like, for example, the first time it rains, we act like we've never seen rain before. And we start crashing into each other. Like, oh my gosh, it's raining. There's water. It's on the ground. It's wet. And I'm slipping and sliding. What is a hydroplane? Oh my gosh. You know, and we just lose our minds. And it seems like every single Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July weekend, whatever it is, the CHP will come out and say, maximum enforcement. We're looking for you guys. We're going to be sitting outside of bars. The moment you stumble into your car, we're going to pull you over. We're going to have DUI checkpoints. And they still get some 800 to 1,000 people every single year. And I was wondering, and here's the question, do you find that accordingly, that there's worse traffic, more accidents, more disarray on the highways and freeways during holiday weekends?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to boot, to follow up with what you said, I also notice a stronger presence of police on the surface streets and CHP on the freeways.
So even though we know going in, there's going to be a higher police presence. This is what we've been asking for. It's what we want. We know that people are probably going to get liquored up. And we know that the police are going to be looking for us. Not saying that you should try to avoid police, but hopefully we should try to avoid DUIs and drink responsibly and not get in the car and drive. But we still are our own worst enemy in that regard. It just seems like no matter how much we warn people, we're still just going to be stupid. So is that the takeaway?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, something that I noticed, and I guess it's just, I don't even know what to call it, you know, the holiday, just the holiday vibes, you know, people are like, yeah, we've got a vacation, let's get out of here. And they get in their car and just put the pedal to the metal and try to get to wherever it is they're going ASAP. And there's something that changes in the way that people drive on those days approaching a holiday weekend. And things get crazy out there. I mean, I notice it just, you know, people in minor traffic just getting outraged. I'm like, why are you getting so bugged? I mean, it's a holiday weekend. You should be enjoying yourself. But there's definitely a level of intensity that seems to increase in people, and it's affecting a lot of people behind the wheel. So things get crazy out there.
This was the first holiday that I've had, an actual like holiday on the holiday, which I was not working in I don't know how many years. I actually had Labor Day off where I was not in a radio studio. And you know what that's like. It's like, what? It's a holiday? Mm-hmm. That means we're usually working somewhere, somehow, mm-hmm. for somebody. And I actually had it off. And to your point, people were less patient. They were more impatient. And seemingly, it seems like road rage is more a thing now than ever before. I don't know if it's a function of coming out of the pandemic and we're just more impatient overall with everything, about everything, or is it something different in, as far as just California? But it's, oh my goodness. I try not to look at anyone. I try not to stare at anyone. I definitely am not going to engage anyone. Uh-huh. If you cut me off, uh-huh. I will mutter under my voice, but I'm not going to make sure that you don't hear me. I'm not trying to make eye contact or anything. I won't even make eye contact with Eric or Mark in the studio because I don't want them to, you know, get angry at me and then find me in the garage later on. But
we're all on a hair trigger around here.
but Angel Martinez, thank you for confirming what I thought, that the holiday weekends not only increase the number of traffic accidents we have, but not only the DUIs that we have. It seems like we are just more impatient with each other than ever before. More bad news, but thank you very much for that.
You got it.
This is the John and Ken Show, and we're going to talk some college football because my SC Trojans are back. Thank you very much. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. If you don't know, I'm host of the Mo Kelly Show, KFI AM 640, Saturdays and Sundays. Saturdays 6 to 8, Sundays 7 to 10 p.m. And if you listen to me, you know that I'm a lifelong Angeleno. You know that I love my USC Trojans. Didn't go there, but it's my team as far as growing up. I grew up a Rams fan, not a Chargers fan, but a Rams fan and also a USC Trojans fan. And my heart was breaking just about every single year with these Trojans because they were not the preeminent football school in the Pac-12 for quite some time. They were getting out-recruited. They were getting outclassed. They were getting outplayed. And I thought a lot of that had to do with we did not have, when I say we, the Trojans did not have the type of leadership on and off the field which could recruit the top talent to come play for the Trojans. And I think all that has changed. And yes, it was only one game, but you could tell in the way that they played, the way that they dominated Rice over the weekend. It said to me that it will be much more attractive for top recruits and talent to come play for the USC Trojans.
NIL money doesn't hurt either.
Not everyone understands what that is. So look, name, image, and likeness deals. Sorry. Players now, if they are, you know, not necessarily good enough, if they have a profile high enough, they can sign deals where they can make money off their name, image, and likeness and not have to rely on, you know, $100 handshakes.
And they can't make money directly from the school. They have to get it from this company who maybe,
Bob's,
let's say,
Bob's car dealership.
Right. But Bob also might be a top donor and alumni of USC or UCLA or Oklahoma or whatever college institution you may insert there.
Coincidentally. And it's all legal. I mean, it may sound a little bit swarmy. It is. But it is legal, and that is the landscape now. That is how the game is played, no pun intended. That's how colleges recruit. If you are a big enough university and you have local businesses or even national businesses which are willing to enter into these NIL deals and contracts with players, merchandising, licensing, then you're more apt to get a higher quality, when I say quality, talent level individual. And this is about competition. Now, when you put this next to USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten, you understand that still this is about money. And if you can't generate the money, then you will not be able to compete at the highest levels. USC, and I can't speak for UCLA, I'm not so sure about that, but USC has always said, we are a football school. We are committed to football, to winning national championships, to be playing hopefully in the college football playoff, to be competing at the highest level within the sport. UCLA, I'm not so sure.
Well, we saw Cal and Stanford say they might dissolve their football programs because of UCLA and USC's departure to the Big Ten.
Which means the Pac-12 is all but dead.
Yes.
And if you're saying, well, how could that happen? What about the storied rivalries? What about the Rose Bowl? Honestly, that's all nostalgia because it still just comes down to money. Now, this is also in concert with the recent news that they're expanding to a 12-team playoff, which says that the idea of conferences will mean even less. You won't necessarily need to win your conference to possibly have a shot at the playoff.
Yeah. No, I'm all for the expansion of the playoff. I think more schools, more opportunity, more exposure for the players and the schools, student athletes, excuse me.
Yeah, they're athletes first. And they also go to school. No. They're athletes more than anything.
Yes.
And they also take underwater basket weaving or sociology or
communications,
modern science, or, you know, climate change awareness.
I want to go back to the NIL thing, though, real quick, Mo. Did you see what the Ohio State quarterback, C.J. Stroud, and top Heisman Trophy candidate, did you see what he did with some of his NIL money?
I did not.
So what he did before Ohio State's first game this year against Notre Dame this past weekend, C.J. Stroud took $60,000 of his NIL deal and gave each of his Ohio State teammates a $500 gift card to get a game day suit. So $60,000, 120 players, $500 gift cards to get a game day suit.
That's significant for a number of reasons. And I know
so many reasons.
And someone who may listen is like, well, why would he give them money in effect to get a suit as opposed to a textbook or meals or something like that? Well, when you're traveling with these universities, they're required, usually by the coach, to wear a suit. And many of these athletes, when they get to college, they do not have a suit. They cannot afford a suit, but they're required to travel in a suit. Yes, they're there on scholarship and they have all their tuition and their room and board and so forth paid for, but the idea of spending $100, $200 on a suit is just not an option. So these are things which are actually necessary and helpful to teammates and schools, because the school can't buy the athlete student a suit, because that would be in violation of NCAA rules, as weird as they are. But that actually, and you know what? Because that player did it, he will get that money back in spades.
Yeah.
He will be looked at as a possible endorsement possibility because he is magnanimous, for lack of a better word. He's that athlete that corporations will look at like, oh, this might be someone who can pitch other products for us because he's put together in that way.
Well, and think about, just regardless of that, think about on the football field and in the locker room, think about the leadership qualities it exemplifies in that matter.
That's what happens. If you're a leader in the locker room, they will follow you on the field. But if they don't believe that's who you are, or if they don't believe in you, then it won't matter. It won't matter.
Yeah.
This is the John and Ken Show. When we come back, you might have heard the story. And Mark, you talked about Justin Bieber and his concert tour, which he had postponed.
Yeah, I think he put off like 70 tour dates.
For those who don't know, I used to work in the music business, and I want to give you some insight about these tours, why and why not that they are sometimes canceled. And it's not necessarily for the reasons they, in terms of the artists, may tell you. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight. So that's next. So keep it right here. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Imagine going to a concert of your favorite artist. And I mean specifically a singer. Someone who maybe has great dance songs. I'm thinking like maybe a Janet Jackson or a Beyonce or Britney Spears. Whomever like that. Think in terms of that type of concert. They're known for the great choreography, their high energy, the great routines of 10 and 15 dancers dancing behind them. Have you ever wondered how these singers can do all that choreography and then stop on a dime and sing a song. Have you ever thought about that? Think about this. I want you, whenever you have an opportunity, to run down the hall and back, wherever you are at your job, let them look at you, laugh at you, however. Run down the hall, top speed, come back, top speed, and then sing Happy Birthday.
I'll be right back.
Okay, you ready? No, Eric's actually going to run down the hall. Okay, now Eric is just taking off down the hall. When he comes back, we're going to have him sing Happy Birthday. The point is, and we don't have to wait for him to come back, he won't physically be able to do it. You just can't. You won't have the aerobic capacity. Ooh. Now, sing Happy Birthday.
I don't know if I can.
Okay, but my point is, we're all humans, and it doesn't matter how great shape you may be in to sing a song and control your breathing and not sound out of breath. Is virtually impossible, especially if you're doing all that choreography. It does not matter how many nights in a row you do it and what your stamina is like. Singing is an altogether different discipline. So, Mo, what are you trying to tell us? I'm saying that most of your favorite singers, I can't say all, but most of your favorite singers, the ones who employ the sophisticated choreography, they have not only backup dancers, but they have assistance vocals, you could say. Many times, and I can say this, when I worked at Virgin Records, specifically we worked on the Velvet Rope tour. It wasn't highly publicized, and I'm quite sure if you asked Janet Jackson today, she'd probably deny it. I'm just saying, this is the truth, all right? She had assistive, I call them like assistive vocals, where there are moments where either she's too tired because of doing the choreography, or in the case like of The Weeknd, where your voice is going out, they've recorded other vocals to stand in their place. It could have been recorded on a different night in which they're on tour and live, so it sounds live. It sounds exactly like something coming from a concert. It could have been recorded in a studio and given some ambient noise in the background. But it's for artists who are touring every single night. Because you'd have to imagine at some point, either your voice is going to get tired over the long run of all those dates, night after night after night, and city after city after city, or you might get sick, which has been known to happen if you do a lot of traveling. And it doesn't matter how good a shape you may be in, the logistics of trying to do all that singing and dancing and not sound out of breath and be able to carry the tune and sing it well, depending on how difficult the song is, especially if it's a ballad. Have you ever noticed they usually sing a ballad after doing all that dancing? It's not possible. It's physically not possible. Go dance for 15, 20 minutes at the top of your energy and then sing a very slow song. You won't be able to do it no matter how good a shape you're in. And it's because they employ these tricks to either replace the voice or make the voice sound fuller, give just a little bit of assistance, what have you. Not every artist does it, but a lot of them do. And this helps. And when I read a story like this, the part of how I'm tying all this together, when I read that The Weeknd canceled his concert more recently in LA at Staples Center, and he said his voice went out, not only do I believe that his voice went out, there are probably other extenuating circumstances, because I'm thinking like, why didn't you have other vocals ready to go? I'm saying that there's probably more to the story than just that. I'm saying there has to be more than just your voice went out on that occasion.
Or did he not notice anything in sound check?
That too, because we can go back to the whole Super Bowl halftime show. And for some reason, no one realized that his mic wasn't on or something or wasn't working. So I just think there's more to the story. I'm calling BS on his voice went out. I think there's more to the story because there are too many other remedies to help him get through a show just because his voice went out. Because all of this is taken into account in advance. You have a singer who's singing night after night. There's a high likelihood that he or she is either going to get tired, fatigued in the concert, or maybe sick over the course of a tour. And you can't just cancel dates.
He put on the same exact show the night before at SoFi Stadium. He was in the same exact spot he was the night before.
Yeah, that's why I call BS. I mean, it's possible he could have been hoarse. It's possible he could have lost his voice. I've done a lot of singing on an amateur level. I know what that feels like. Yes, I know what it's like to not have your voice or your hoarse or you have laryngitis. I get all that. But when you have that many fans in a place like the Staples Center, they're not trying to cancel that concert. Oh, excuse me, SoFi. SoFi, even worse.
Yeah, even bigger.
Yeah. What it takes to cancel a concert in that big a venue, that early into the concert, says to me, as someone who has worked on tours similarly, there's far more to that story. There just has to be more. He canceled it, what, like after the first song or something?
I think it was about four songs.
Okay, it might as well have been the first song as far as I'm concerned. I just know that there's a way that he could walk up there with no voice at all, and they could have had that concert. It wouldn't have been on the up and up, but they still would have had that concert, and they wouldn't have had to refund anybody's money, because money at the end of the day is the most important thing.
Well, I think they're going to end up just saying that tickets are valid for whenever he comes back, and they're just trying to reschedule a date. But
there's a sunk cost. Yeah, but there's a sunk cost. Yeah, because it's football season coming up, and you just can't have SoFi Stadium whenever you want.
No.
You just can't. And you also have to pay for all the people who are working on this unscheduled date, this added date to the calendar. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just doubt the story is as they're presenting it. Conversely, when I see that Justin Bieber has suspended his tour to take care of his health, I believe that because a tour of any duration is a serious drain on a performer. Serious drain, especially if you're doing three or four nights a week and there's any type of choreography, and I know there is with Justin Bieber. And I know Justin has highlighted some of his health problems, and he's documented them over the course of time. So I think there's less reason to disbelieve him in this instance. I don't think there's anything nefarious here. But if I were to call BS on something, I call BS on the weekend. You know, he's welcome to call me. Not that he will, because he lost his voice, didn't he? This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.